Welcome to episode 58 of Sound Out Wave, the first podcast to reach planet Earth from Cybertron. I'm Nell, and I'm okay at Hasbro properties.
And I'm Greg, and I suck at Hasbro properties.
And this week, we look back at Revolution.
Why do they call them masks if they're helmets?
Yeah, I mean, that's a question number one.
I feel like the most important thing we could address here is the fact they're not, these aren't masks.
We're going immediately for the big questions here. You're right.
That's what this whole crossover event is really about.
It's about why they're called masks.
So
even just to set things up, I have read all the Revolution books. You have not. And that's
not,
okay.
In keeping with the spirit of the show, I feel like.
Yeah.
Revolution, for anyone who's joining us. By the way, we're back. It's good to
hear
you
back. This is our season two.
Thank you
for
joining us out on the patio.
Yeah, we're having it happen.
By the way, we're on a patio. We're trying. There's no
we
air.
Are.
It's very difficult, but it's
yes.
worth it. Revolution is a big crossover.
Yes.
Involving lots of Hasbro properties.
Yes. So it's this big, it really shook up a lot of these comics and introduced new titles into the IDW series. But essentially, yeah, the point was to make it so all of these different properties exist together in the same IDW universe should they need each other, basically.
You got your G.I. Josephs. You got your Mobile Armored Strike Command, a.k.a. the Masks.
Yeah.
Starring Jim Carrey. You got Micronauts.
Small tinies.
They're friends of the Transformanauts.
Yes.
Different, but familiar.
Wait, hold on. How big are the Transformanauts?
I think we established that they're three times larger than any Transformer.
Okay, I was going to say, I thought they were huge, but okay.
But they're distant relations. Podcast. Yes, they're friends. People can have friends even if they're different sizes.
No, I know. But I was just wondering. And I get you related to them because Micronauts and Transformanauts. But for a second, I was like, does he mean the Transformanauts are small? Because last I checked.
Right. As everybody knows, the Transformanauts are easily the size of any given United States state.
Yeah.
We have Action Man, everybody's favorite, who we all heard of before.
Yeah.
All those classic Action
Man
storylines that we're all loving.
Yeah.
Thank God they didn't do another origin story, right? How many times have we heard the Action Man origin?
Enough times.
Lord. We really don't need another, what's his name? Xander? It's Ian, right?
Oh, wait, what is his name? Is Ian his friend's name? Ethan?
Ethan no. Hunt?
I forget. They just kept calling him Action Man.
Action Man.
Action Manuel.
Action Man. Ian Noble. That's his name. Nice. And Salmon's friend's name. Real action cool name there.
Yeah.
We have, of course, can't forget about everyone's favorite Super Nintendo ROM.
That's right. That handsome space soldier.
That good, good space machine fighter boy.
I just read all these books and I'm like, who are all you people? Who let you in my house?
It's not that we don't like them. It's just that you're all, it's a lot
There's
to take
so
on
much.
At once if you're not familiar with these properties.
Yes.
Which is why we make a podcast.
Right. And I apologize that immediately this is all over the place. It's very similar to back in episode one of this show. We don't really have a formula yet
this
is all going to go.
You're exactly right. So
we're starting this off
for anyone
properly.
Anyone who's listening for the first time, the way this show went in the past, my compatriot Nell is a very, very big fan of Transformers and has read all of the comics. I was new to Transformers at the time and had not read any. And episode by episode, we caught up to the current day. Now we're at the current day. Everything's changed on like every level imaginable.
Right.
So we're still trying to figure it out. But guess what, everyone? We're going to cover some Revolutions.
Yeah, we're going to get everybody up to speed.
You may even hear about some Transformer friends.
You might. You just might. Yes. So Right, Revolution had all those titles in it, all of these extra characters in it. And so, yeah, and this was this event that happened, I think it started in, like, maybe even September, but, like, October. It was when we are, the end of our
Yeah, it looks like it would have been Revolution in September.
Yeah.
And they probably released, like, Prelude stuff.
Yes. So this was happening right around the time that we went on hiatus. So now we're back, so we figured we would take a look back, catch everybody up on Revolution in case you didn't read it, in case you wanted to discuss it, and then at least everybody will be on the same page. We'll all have an understanding of where, because it really shouldn't have too much bearing on our books going forward and what right. we will do on the show, but you never know. And then just in case,
right, in case
we've given it some time.
Like 20 issues from now, Rom is a major player in Lost Light number 22. We'll be able to say, hey, this guy is Rom.
Yeah.
By the way.
Look at that handsome space knight. That's what he is. He's a space knight.
He is a space knight. So, yeah. And there's a lot of history involved in your thing. Some of these have been properties before. Some of them are new. Obviously, G.I. Yes. Joe has been a thing forever. Marvel had Rom for a long time to the point where, like, the Space Knights still exist in Marvel continuity.
And... yeah, that's the impression I was getting. It does seem, and I think it's similar to the way that, like, Transformers was once a Marvel property, too.
Yes, yeah. I mean, there's been all kinds of crossover things deemed canon and non-canon.
Right.
And, you know.
So, whew, there's a lot to take in here.
Don't even, worry, we're all here together.
We are all here together, yes. Just hold my hand, we'll get through this. There was a lot happening in these books. So, like, immediately, how do we even start talking about Revolution?
Well, so the first probably non-joke thing I'll say is that the entire series centers around Orca.
It does, yes. That is
which
a true...
we know about.
We do. We come from the land where Or 13 originated. We got this. So yes, it is. It's, I mean, we know it's super energon. It's this great, very powerful substance.
Placed on Earth by Shockwave.
Yeah, Shockwave planted it long time ago.
Put the seeds in the ground. And they sprouted up in the beautiful Or 13.
It was so pretty. He did such a good job. Which we'll talk about Shockwave a little while later. But, so yeah, so it's about Or 13 and essentially, yeah, a bunch of it ends up blowing up. And so people were like, oh, snap, like that, oh. And then, of course, you have the Joes immediately being like, it was the Cybertronians.
Right.
Shoot. And
especially because, as we remember coming off of Transformers Ongoing, Optimus is saying, like, hey, by the way, you're in, like, a intergalactic Senate,
yeah.
and I'm your representative, even
right.
though I'm not human.
Right. Optimus just kind of adopted Earth and decided, hey, I speak for you now, and you're part of a galactic council. Welcome.
Yeah. A weird move,
a
if
very
we all...
weird move.
And so
yeah.
humans are not happy about him being here.
Right. And the humans that do know these Transformers, i.e., like, Marissa,
yes.
Who the EDC... got handed over, like, shut down, and things were handed over to G.I. Joe.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we're not going to go through the entire thing, but immediately, I don't know, I mean, maybe I'm just super biased, I don't know, but I was reading through these issues, and I'm like, do they write these specifically to make us hate anything that isn't robotic? Like, are these purposefully written to make any non-robotic creature just fucking dumb? And, like... quick
you definitely
anger.
Get that vibe.
You really do.
All of the Joes immediately, like...
oh, they make snap decisions constantly.
Yeah, there's a scene in issue one where literally RC and Jazz are, like, building a dam for a place that's being flooded, and they're like, let's kill them!
Right. They're like, also, they're, like, down the road from them. They're like, I
yeah.
see them now. This must be them. They're behind it. Go shoot them. And you're, like, literally watching, like, RC is, like, tugging a boat along full of people. Because, like, let's get these people out of this flooded area. Jazz is helping build a sandbag wall. And then G.I. Joe attacks them. And so immediately it kicks off. And you're just like, what the hell? So nobody's going to think for a second before making decisions? The answer is no. Nobody will. And then in this big fight, like, of course, it's always no fight. Nobody can fight. And then Rom shows up and just starts
yeah.
killing some of the Joes, and you're
Rom
like, whoa!
Rom just, like, rips some dudes apart, and
I'm like, damn, Rom, you do make a good impression. I like you.
That was the thing where I was like, wait a minute, what is Rom's deal?
So did you get to a point where you found out what his deal was, why he did that?
Yes.
Okay.
That is at least a little bit explained in issue 2 as well, where he's saying like, oh, those weren't people.
Right. So we find out, yes, like the reason Rom shows up and just decimates a couple humans where you're like, oh shit, I thought this guy was like nice. But yeah, it turns out they weren't humans. We learn about dire wraiths, which are the things that Rom is fighting. And yeah. Rom is from another universe. I don't know. He's from another galaxy. He's from somewhere else.
Yeah, he's from a place. He's he's human, but he wasn't born on Earth. He was born in another like universe for humans.
Which I will say, I was disappointed. I was like, I mean, he says he's human.
He's just, you know what? Think of him as a Daft Punk.
Fair. Okay. There I can, you go. Yeah. Okay.
Because it's not like he can take that suit off, I don't think.
Okay, then I'm down. So we learn that dire wraiths are now on Earth, and they're up to something, and they can transform into humans.
Yes.
And so they've infiltrated G.I. Joe, essentially. So that's why Rom suddenly showed up and killed people, because they weren't actually...
They have, in fact, infiltrated a lot of places, and we see in Transformers.
Yes.
As well as More Than Meets the Eye.
Yeah.
These dire wraiths are a problem, and little did we know.
Yeah, like, oh, surprise, none of us had seen this coming. But of course, because Rom is robotic-looking, the Joes are immediately like, he's Cybertronian, kill him! And are just like, they're all just so convinced. They're like, the Cybertronians are behind this. They're all the worst.
Jazz even says, like, we're gonna get blamed for this, aren't we?
And I'm like, Jazz, you're wise, and you are correct. You sure will. So then of course, like, they end up bringing, you know, Mask gets introduced, and it's this group of, they're not kids, but they're like maybe like 20 year olds, 20s something.
They're brats.
They're a bunch of young brats that this like old dude like brings on board and is like, oh, I stole Cybertronian technology to make these like cool vehicles and these helmets that we're calling masks. And yeah, so we learn about, like, in their one shot, we learn about all the characters. It did make me ask the question, is any man capable of writing a normal woman character? Like, is that possible? Are we allowed to have a female who isn't, like, about to fly off the handle every time something is, like, upsetting to her?
Well, thinking about it now, even RC is, like, kind of...
Right? Like, it happens, not all the time, and that's not fair of me, because, like, yes, Windblade. We see some...
Windblade's cool.
Yes. Windblade, though, primarily written by Mirror Grid. Just throwing that out there.
That's a good point.
Anyway, that's not fair of me. It's really not. There are plenty of great female characters written by men, but, no, we do see a lot more of, like, Scarlet is, like, a dick at times. Like, she, at one point, like, chokeholds her doctor, and you're like, whoa! You know
yeah,
what?
She's
Scarlet,
like an
cool
asshole.
It. Yeah, like Scarlet was never like she was way more chill. The Scarlet I know. So I think that happens a lot. Is like sometimes it's a little like okay, we can cool it because yeah, we don't need to like she can be powerful without like being a jerk to everybody.
Yeah.
I
do like that. It seems like where they can, they sort of use the tools they have, like to explain. Oh, Mask's whole thing is we have vehicles that turn into like other vehicles. Oh, Cybertronians do that. Let's just say it right. was Cybertronian stuff.
Yeah, like, and I do appreciate that. And then even in that respect, they're like, so they can also kind of camouflage themselves against
right
Cybertronians for. Until obviously they reveal themselves because they're like, hey, they're not going to notice us right away because this is normal for them. So yes, I do appreciate that. And they did a good job, honestly. Yeah, like tying all this stuff together. Like the fact that Miles is the guy who runs Mask and he's working with the Joes. But then you realize he's also double crossing like everybody. Naturally, you can tell, like, the guy's just a jerk, and you're like, he's gonna end up being a villain. It's just, gosh, it's all over the place. The Micronauts get introduced during all of this time, because we realize, because of course we're like, okay, somebody's trying to steal Or 13, the Joes think the Cybertronians are doing it, the Cybertronians don't know what's going on, but the problem for them outside of the fact that, like, Ore 13 is all throughout the Earth, which means it's a problem for everybody, but also, we'll recall, there's a big store of Ore 13 underneath Autobot City, which is the Metro Titan that...
Out in Monument.
Yes. So, they're like, we're all in danger. The Earth is in danger. We have to figure this out. So, they're... Yeah, it's essentially everybody's, like, either racing to blame each other or racing to try to figure this out before people die.
It's, and... you know, I feel like the tried and true classic blockbuster method of what if we took one group of heroes and placed them against another group of heroes, maybe didn't work so well for, like, Batman and Superman.
Yeah.
So we need to learn, you know, to work together, everybody.
Yeah, and I think, here's what I will say as far as Revolution is concerned. I really do appreciate what they aimed to do. I appreciate, and like I said, I appreciate the way they cross things over, Mask using Cybertronian technology, even like the Micronauts and their like main villain, you learn, are in like an area similar to the Dead universe, and
right,
they get tied in with Micronus Prime, who we've heard about before. You're like, oh, he's responsible for at least, you know, their existence and their whole thing. So it is cool the way that they tied things together. And you're like, okay, the only one who does kind of come out of nowhere is Rom. and we'll forgive him because look at him. He's cool.
Yeah, he's gorgeous. Who could not?
He's real pretty. So I think it's noble what they were doing. I think it was just so, it got very convoluted and it got very, like, there were times when I had to try to remember who was even, like, who the hell is this character? I don't remember.
Ian Noble.
Well, and I will say this, as far as Action Man is concerned, his book, his one-shot comes in later. His is kind of sandwiched around all the Transformer books. Later on in the, there's 13 books in the Revolution set, and he's towards the end. I gotta say, getting to his book, I was like, you know what, Action Man? You're all right by me. Like, he was a human who wasn't immediately jumping to conclusions. He shows up, he saves Cup. It's, I'm down.
Aww, good.
Yeah,
old
I
Cup.
Was like, Action Man, you can hang. You're allowed.
And that leads into Revolutionaries, right? Like, isn't he on that team? I know Cup is.
Yes, that's my impression. I think that's true. I haven't looked too far past what we have,
what we have,
like, this
here.
Set here. Besides knowing that, like, the Optimus Prime 4-part series is going, I think the third one just came out today. And then, of course, Lost Light, which we will be discussing next week.
This is something we have discussed. Do we know if there is still a Transformers ongoing, or if Transformers Optimus Prime is going to turn into that, or...
I think Optimus Prime became the new story from the remnants of ongoing. That's my impression.
Okay. Yeah.
So it sounds yes, they're just, and then probably a different title will take its place after that. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, like Lost Light, obviously, is more than meets the eye. Till All Are One is still going, so we're still getting the stories on Cybertron with them. So I'm getting the impression that, yes, the Optimus Prime stories are just the focus on him, which was basically what ongoing.
Right, yeah, that's what it had turned into. And I know that Barber is writing Revolutionaries as well. So who knows
what is
coming up here?
It seems like ongoing almost split between a couple, because, like, if I don't know if, thank goodness, Spike was only in Revolution for, like, a hot second. And then Man showed up and, like, made a fool out of everybody on that base. And I was like,
yeah,
again, Action Man, you're allowed into the clubhouse.
You can sit with us.
You are allowed at the cool table. So anyway, yes, that's the impression that I get, is that it's kind of been divvied up into a couple titles.
That makes... and we will have the full Revolution checklist available on, like, the episode information for this episode. So if you want to see all of the books leading up to this and all the books that we're covering today, you can click the link probably in your podcast player right now.
Yeah. A good effort. I get what they were trying to do. Just a little too much happening. So many characters. A little convoluted. Of course, yeah, in the end it has this cool, like, big climax where, yeah, everybody, like, teams up. And it's your typical, you know how it's going to end. And it's cool. but we won't give it all away. Just people who haven't read it and now want to read it. So that's kind of...
That's a rundown of Revolution.
Yes, a very brief, a very all over the place, sorry, rundown of Revolution. We do have, as much as it was like, there were just parts reading it where I'm like, what am I even reading? What is even happening? Why any of this? Obviously there were, and I do stand by, like, the robots all seem fine. Like, all of the robots, pretty reasonable. And then, luckily, of course, we get to some of their focus stories, which is what we will talk about a little bit more now, since that's what we do here. We focus on the robots here, or at least the Cybertronians. And
let's dig into these one-shots.
Yeah.
We have Transformers Revolution, which is the ongoing.
That's the ongoing book, yes. And I will also say, you did not get to read till all our one Revolution.
Right. Yeah. We'll probably cover once till all our one is finished. Is it finished after six issues, or is it like
it's continuing? Not. So here's okay. Yeah. So we will get to all our one again on this show. So that will come up again. Basically though, in Revolution, it just kind of went along the story that we know. It focused on Windblade's part essentially in her helping essentially learn about Micronus Prime in microspace, which is where the Micronauts are from, and her talking to the Metro Titan that is Autobot City. So yeah. It focused on Windblade, naturally, and her dealing with microspace, and like, so it was kind of her and the Micronauts deal together. So it's not going to have a huge bearing, I think, on anything really going forward with Tell All Our One, but it was a nice, like, reprieve to be like, oh, yeah, good, I'm familiar
with
nice her.
One
this
shot.
Is,
we like
this
that.
Is where I like being. These we are the like people Windblade. I know and trust. Yeah.
She's cool. Great.
She is cool. So, yes, ongoing, though. You did read this.
Yes, I love it because on the cover there is Soundwave and Optimus and TC is in the back there.
Yeah.
And Rom is up front here. And only four of those characters are in this book. Or only one of those four is in this book.
So immediately, yeah.
Good
great.
Old, it really is a comic book event.
It really is.
We
get to the roll call, and I was immediately, again, after so many books where you're just like, where are my robots? Where are my robots? Where's my space that I know and I'm familiar with? Then we get to a roll call, which has been a while at this point, and thank goodness. Our roll call is Thundercracker and Buster and Marissa and President Viola Davis. And I was
least three of them.
I was like, I'm really excited about three of these people being here. No offense, Viola, but you kind of need to cool it. You need
be a tough
chill
sometimes.
Yeah.
And immediately she is. She's chewing out Fairborn and saying like, hey, you're a dumb idiot. Go fix Optimus Prime.
I needed to hand this over to G.I. Joe. The EDC did nothing. And Marissa's like, you're dumb. G.I. Joe immediately failed at everything you handed them, which is true.
Yeah. So Marissa gets a text saying like, hey, I think there might be aliens in the room. And she's like, that's ridiculous. And then looks up and all the Secret Service is aliens and they're trying to kill the...
Yeah, they're the Dire Wraiths. We know these guys.
These are Rom enemies.
Yeah. Rom's been looking for you guys. You should probably call him.
Yeah.
And then, thank goodness.
Call your Rom.
He waiting for you. It takes us no longer than on the second page to finally get our favorite text boxes.
I know everybody was waiting for the follow-up to the Susan Journier story.
And we get it. We're picking up again where we left off with Susan and Josh Boyfriend. And immediately, my heart was at peace because I was like, oh, thank goodness. TC's
we get the
here.
Shocking revelation that Josh Boyfriend is not his...
It was not his given name. He chose
that name.
He
changed it to Josh Boyfriend because he was Josh, then he changed the other part too.
And essentially, then we cut to, again, Cybertronians doing what apparently Cybertronians do now on Earth, which is saving dumbass humans from our own problems.
Yeah.
And it's TC helping people out of a burning building.
And he's like, as he's doing this, being his own script doctor and being like, none of this makes any sense.
It is. Yes. We get through that this entire book and it's so precious and good. He's really trying hard to we can tell he's hit a bit of I wouldn't say a writer's block because he's obviously writing. He's just, he can't quite get the words he's looking for.
He's changed so much.
Yeah. He's revising a lot. even as he's doing other things like saving human beings.
And cats.
And cats, which Buster immediately starts barking at the cat outside of the cockpit glass.
We do see Buster in the cockpit in robot form, and
it's so cute. It's always so cute. And even better, we learn immediately, Teasy's crew here is, of course, Buster, his best mm-hmm. friend, and Bob, who he's watching for Sideswipe, and Doc.
And Doc.
Oh my gosh.
Buster's best friend.
Buster's best friend, which I just immediately, this is the cutest team ever, and I want this always. And it's especially precious because we even see as this continues, TC never acts like, oh, I'm just here with like a bunch of like little like sidekicks. Oh no, like this is his crew. He yeah. has faith in all of them.
He has banter.
Yeah. He says he, because of course one of the kids he's saving is like, oh my gosh, did he eat a dog? There's a dog in his tummy. He's like, oh no, she's my best friend. I didn't need her. She just lives there.
She wants her, trust me.
He was on the phone with Optimus. Oh, yeah. And then he got cut off. And then, of course, Marissa calls him. And because, you know, she's suddenly in a bind here. A bunch of Secret Service just turned into dire wraiths. So she calls him. He thinks it's going to be Optimus. He picks up. She starts shouting into the phone. It's like, TC, we're under siege. I need you to help me. You're the only one I can trust. And he responds in the way I'm used to Greg Mercer picking up the phone every time, which is...
Yeah. Who is this?
And I laughed for like a minute because I was like, how
dare you? I was really happy
you?
To see that. I do that all the time.
All the time. It's so good. It's a classic. Call somebody very urgently and have them just be like, who is this? I don't... And of course, Marissa
Uncle
immediately
Leo?
Is like, give me a fucking break and come help me.
Of course, TC says, Buster, Doc, Bob, let's roll out in the air.
He's just so perfect. Oh my goodness. And he's continuing trying to write his story here.
I do like that everyone is trying to, like, hang on to him and he flies. Bob is, like, yeah. grasping for dear life, and Doc is just, like, tentacled onto the back of him.
Right. The tentacles flying out all over the place, because they're just... Of course, he's just zipping through the air, because he's Thundercracker. He can go yeah. stupid fast. And I know at one point... Oh, he hasn't done it yet. But yeah, so he's still trying to think of how he's going to write this story. Why aren't these words working? It's just, he can't quite figure it out. But so then we cut back to Marissa and the president. They're both fine. She's taking out a lot of these wraiths.
Yeah, covering a lot of green goo.
Yeah. And I do love, we get the title drop here, which is Thundercracker and Buster save the world. And Marissa Fairborn helps too. Which is the best title in Revolution.
Yeah, I love it. So we do see TC dropping in extra fast.
Yes.
And the little text inserts are clearly like him having
so
his own
sweet.
Inner monologue.
It is. And we do see one of his revisions is that Josh almost calls Susan Marissa. And it's very cute. Because obviously that's who's basing this character off of. So he flies in to the White House, and of course they have the two conehead, he calls them zombies.
Yeah, and they immediately open fire.
Yes,
Marissa's, rushing the president down a hall.
They find an aide who is not a dire wraith.
As far as we know,
they get to another room full of people that they're like, okay, we're all safe in here.
And Marissa is like, this guy looks like he's probably a dire wraith. I'm just going to shoot him for good measure.
You know. And as she's about to do that, somebody else is a dire wraith. Oh, and she was right. And then they're shooting more shapeshifters. And it's so kooky because, like, if you think about even, like, it did hit me at some point in this book. And I think it might just be what I don't know if she says it later in this book or if she says it at a different point after this. But she ends up giving rundown about like, okay, shapeshifters have infiltrated G.I. Joe and they've infiltrated the White House staff. And I was just suddenly like, what the hell are we even doing anymore? Like, for some reason,
what
giant
a day.
Transforming robots I can deal with just fine. And I'm like... people take these things very casually.
Well, you know, it's so... A long time ago, I reviewed Infestation 2, which was the Transformers Heart of Steel universe,
yes.
which is like steampunk Transformers fighting Cthulhu monsters, right?
Yeah.
And I just had to step back and say, like, you're putting too much gravy on these potatoes. Like, there's you're dressing it up too much. There's too much going on here.
There's a lot. There is a lot. And it does get to a point where you, yeah, you're just like, oh, hold on. Like, I just have to recalibrate for a second, and then we can continue. Just give me a
exactly. Like, I can only suspend so much disbelief.
it's so okay, this is what we got to deal with now. Shapeshifters, of course.
Right, naturally.
Luckily, of course, TC crashes through the White House and is like,
yeah.
Hi, Marissa, I'm here. And he's just the most precious. I swear, reading this book, I was like, I'm so in love with TC. What a perfect, good character.
It's so good, because Marissa's like getting ripped apart by these giant aliens. She's like, do something. He's like, no, this is Bob's moment. Like, I'm going to let him handle this one.
It's so cute. And sure enough, Bob is like, great, I'm going to eat now. And he jumps on the shapeshifter and starts eating him.
Yeah, just starts shredding it.
And it's especially cute because then, of course, one of the secret agents is like, where can I adopt one of those? That thing's cool. I want a Bob. And TC says, I'm just watching him for a friend. And I'm like, ah, TC, you're just too cute. You're just too much.
He's dog sitting.
It means everything to me that he would call Sunstreaker his friend. and then, of course, yeah, now he's going to let Doc help him out. And they take out the other Conehead zombie. And they're like, okay, I think we got it.
And I love that Marissa's like, okay, so there's these shape changers
and
there's
moment.
A coordinated attack against the... And TC's just like, huh, you gotta laugh, right?
Right, he's just like, typical. Am I right? Oh, gosh, he's so good. I think maybe part of the reason I was especially even more enamored with TC reading this was because I had just gone through, like, 9 books of nonstop people flying off the handle constantly and having zero chill. And finally we get here and TC's like, well, you know, gotta laugh. And I'm
gotta
like, oh, thank God.
Fun.
Thank you. Yes, we do have to do that. So yes, it was especially welcome.
Even in this panel, he's got this cute little like bar lean going on.
Oh, he's so cute. Right. It helps that he's very, very cute. Seekers are known for being just adorable. Obviously. How do you think Starscream became president of a planet?
And, of course, this whole time, the president has been carrying around a briefcase, and Marissa says, "Miss Madam President, what's the MacGuffin?" She says, oh, it's full of Or-13.
Yes.
Joel Colton, who is G.I. Joe.
Who is, yes.
Right. He died, and this is his, and I'm holding on to so that's why everyone wants this.
That's why we have all these dire wraiths here, because, of course, the dire wraiths want the Or-13. It makes them super powerful. We learn this after there's like this like melding between like technology dire wraith. It's goofy, but it's ROM's. That's ROM's deal.
Thanks, ROM.
Thanks a lot, ROM. It's so cute because then Marissa's like, okay, look. Or not even her, but they're talking about these dire wraiths and they can disguise themselves as people. And TC's just like, so they're like biological transformers. Well, that's neat. Like, he's very chill. And again, you're just like, and they're like, oh, we have no way of knowing who they are. And immediately Bob is like, Buster is, she runs up and is like, hey, this person doesn't smell right. Show enough. It's a dire wraith.
Show enough.
So Buster knows. She's good.
And the dire wraith bursts out, ready to attack Buster, and TC just turns them into, like, a green foam.
Yeah, and says, don't threaten my friend. Just like that. It's gonna be that easy. And, of course, Marissa's immediately like, oh my goodness, Buster, you're so good. I'm so glad you're here.
A real member of the EDC.
Finally. We need more of them. So then they break up, they split up, and they're like, okay, Madam President, you stay here with Doc and Bob and Buster and the secret agent guy. You guys all look great. And then Marissa and TC and the White House aide are going to, where are they going? I don't remember. they're taking the Or-13.
Yeah. And they're trying to essentially get it out of here so that they won't attack the president. And I love this because they're like, all right, let's rock. And Marissa's going out there. And Thundercracker's just like, I like hanging out with you guys.
He's having fun. This is a good day.
He has no stakes in this. He's just trying to do the right thing for his friends.
Precious. What a good, good boy. And So they are just tearing, of course, through all these diaries that they're meeting. And they get to, where are they even trying to go? The Situation Room. That's where they're going. Because they're like, look, there are people in there. And they're going to know something. I forget why they're going. I'm so sorry, you guys.
It doesn't matter. Thundercracker just bursts in and starts mowing everybody down. Like,
that's
could
the
you
important
imagine
thing to take away
if,
here.
Like... if you're sitting around and suddenly something the size of Thundercracker bursts through the wall shouting, die, alien invaders! Like, what a phenomenal panel this is.
It's so good. This book is such a blessing. I'm so glad that this one exists.
And Marissa's like, hey, some of those might be humans. And he's like, don't worry, I'm fine.
Like, I know what I'm doing. He says, I'm a seeker. I know where I'm shooting. I got this. He has been doing this for a very long time, Marissa.
This is not his first row.
It is not. Like, TC, we've had a lot of laughs with TC lately. But in all realness, the Seekers have been, like, elite guard for Megatron for, you know, 4 million years. They're pretty good. And so, of course, there are people in the Situation Room who are the Dire Wraiths. And they're like, oh... cool. I want that briefcase.
Yeah, that's
that
got Ortho-13 in it, right?
And yeah.
I feel so bad for Rashid,
I know,
because
Rashid.
He is holding on to the briefcase and this alien monster just grabs at it. And Marissa's like, don't let go. And we just see his fingers get ripped off of his body.
Yeah, his fingers are flying as the wraith rips it away. And you're like, oh, geez. He tried his best to not let go. Even Marissa just says sorry. He tried.
Poor guy. And so they all start shooting at this apparent queen of the Dire Wraiths.
Right. She kind of takes the Ortho-13, so it makes her extra big and extra strong.
Right.
And so,
like, yeah.
Yeah. Marissa and TC do a switch off. He was fighting little ones. So she's like, cool, I'll take the little ones. She references some movies for him. He doesn't get it.
He's never seen Throw Mama from the Train. Come on.
He's never seen it. I haven't either.
It's great.
I'm with you, TC.
You'll love it. and he says, oh, we're doing a crisscross. And so he throws the little monsters at Marissa, and he goes and he's like, hey, I'm going to kill this giant monster thing that just happened, and it's full of Ortho-13. And we can see the screenplay ending as this is happening. This may be the end.
And he's, Josh boyfriend is trying to figure out the words that it's, he's going to sacrifice, he's making a sacrifice, and TC can't quite get the words again. He's struggling.
He's trying to set up a sacrifice. He's going to throw this brood queen into the sun. She's saying, like, you can't do that because he's like, fine, whatever, I'll find a million suns.
Yeah, like, I'll just keep throwing you. I don't care. Like, I'm going to kill you. That's the point I'm making. And then she tears off his arm, and he's like, oh, man.
I just got that.
Yeah, Jetfire just made that for me. Then he says, but he does say he's going to complain to Jetfire about it, which I'm like, dude, Jetfire didn't do it. Like, you did not make this arm strong enough.
This monster ripped
it
up.
Terrible.
An organic thing ruined it.
God, Jetfire. So yeah, this Dire Wraith rips it off. TC's like, oh yeah, P.S. all my ammo's in, which
right.
Of course.
It's on fire. From
yeah.
The Ortho-13.
So it blows up.
Yeah. And, of course, this being an action movie, the Dire Wraith explodes in midair and then is impaled on the Washington Monument.
Naturally.
Pretty rad. We get a good splutch sound effect.
Perfect. Very fitting.
And TC's just like, hey, yeah, we did it.
Yeah, he's very excited about this. He's...
Great job, everybody.
he tries to, like... Oh, they make, like, little jokes between him and Marissa that she, TC is, like, always trying to joke around with her, and she's, like, never having it, but, like, accidentally jokes with him at times, and he thinks, oh, yeah, like, she's in on it. She gets it. It's just very cute.
It's very SpongeBob and Squidward.
That's amazing. I never would have made that correlation, but you're not wrong. And, of course, the president is safe because she had an amazing team keeping her
right.
safe.
Those very smart little pets.
Yeah. And TC has some realizations here in the end.
Yeah. He's like, you know what? Maybe this screenplay of mine, maybe it's done. Maybe it's time for me to move on to something else.
Yeah. I am a good seeker. I remember that now.
Yeah.
I'm badass. I should maybe be doing more of that. And he's, and, yeah.
Yeah, Buster jumps up and is happy and giving him kisses. And he says, let's go on a road trip.
Aww.
So that surely will not be the last we hear of
them. I want, like, we're having, like, Optimus Prime title four issues. I want a TC road trip.
Let's get TC and Buster issues. Do America.
Yeah. I want that. And, oh my gosh, though, okay, think about it, because that could genuinely be great, because they go around the country, and they, like, meet other, I don't know, people.
Do
they
good
meet
deeds
people.
In
they
small towns across the country.
Yeah. They do things like attend, like, a county fair where there's, like, a pie contest.
Yeah.
And they, yeah, they, like, go to, like, a chili cook-off, you know. I think that sounds great. I don't know how it's a road trip.
They start hosting diners, drive-ins, and dives is what you're saying.
Basically, yeah. That is what I'm saying.
I need it.
TC wears his sunglasses on the back of his neck. It's great.
Welcome
I
to
want
Flavor
that.
Town.
We could write that. There you
he's
go.
Just,
if anybody
just
from
sampling
IDW is listening.
The best or 13 all around the nation.
He's like, now this growth here.
He's like, ooh, that's smoky. Got some
yeah,
kick to
that
it.
That one's got a smoky taste to it. The ones in the mountains are sweeter, you'll find. Yeah, I want it. I think a lot of people would be it.
There you go. I would. But I might be the only one. Yeah,
that'll be yeah. our fan comic that we make.
I
but
love
yeah,
it.
So that's ongoing. It was again. I think not only was it part because I'm obviously duly familiar with these characters, but it was also because we weren't dealing with literally like 20 different people, which you
yeah.
might be at any different book in the Revolution series. There's just a lot of characters that, again, it gets a little overwhelming at times. And so I think that was what another reason why this one, to me, just felt like, whew, okay, this one was kind of a relief to read because...
We did not have to decipher, is this a mask jerk or a G.I. Joe jerk?
Right, like, because I will also say that too. Listen, a lot of great artists on these books. Sometimes people draw people who all look the same, and that got confusing at times, and I'm like, wait.
Especially because, like, so one of the issues here that's, like, totally insurmountable, and it's just, like, the nature of the beast, because all of these are... like toy lines from the 80s, mm-hmm. a lot of the base designs are going to look really similar because it was all
yes.
coming out of the same like Hasbro design team.
Absolutely.
So
yes.
the Micronauts a lot of time look like people from Mask.
Yes, they really do. And like
so
one of the Micronaut girls looked like Jones and I would be like, wait, okay, no, it's not her. And Jones is now also part of G.I. Joe, P.S. She's
right,
Mayday,
I remember that.
Is her code name.
Yeah.
So... There's so not only like, which of course, you know, as soon as she shows up in the books, I'm like, oh yeah, cool. I know her. Like Jones is cool. Thank goodness. As somebody's here that I'm like, ah, yes, she's fine. but yeah, no, there were some moments where I'm like, wait, who's talking? Or people who show up in one book, show up like six issues later and you're like, what? Who is? Oh, wait, I vaguely remember this person. So yeah, it was just kind of a lot to keep track of. So it was. And a little reprieve getting to ongoing. Here are four people you have to worry about, and that's
yeah.
it.
Here's Transformers fighting ROM bad guys.
Right.
Like, that's a beautiful concept. Sell it to me.
Absolutely. I will take it. So, thank you. Transformers ongoing Revolution one-shot.
We appreciate it.
You did a great job.
And so with that, I think we've covered everything. I don't think there's any other books we need to look at.
I don't think so. I think we're all good.
Well, this was fun. Talk to you guys next week. Oh, wait, there's more than meets the eye.
Who? Oh, right.
It's certainly not less than.
This is good. This is our last time. We get one more.
I'm so excited. I can't wait to figure out what happened on that planet with Rod and Rung. I can't. Finally, we get some answers.
We're going to get
so
some closure
hyped.
Here.
Oh, it's going to be the best.
Yeah.
And on the cover, we do have a couple. It's a great cover. It's
this
just,
is the most like one of the best covers ever in the universe. I love it so much. It's. I'm sure everybody, there's no way you haven't seen it if you're listening to this podcast. It's Crankcase and Misfire hanging out outside of a diner. And they have a giant cooler filled with their little Kremzeek sodas that they're drinking. And they're chilling with, like, Rom is sitting with some of the Mask kids. And some of the little tiny Micronauts are on the table. At the next table, we have some Joes hanging out. And It's precious.
What a fun little parking lot adventure.
It's so cute. I love it. And I do like, because I will say this much as far as, oh, and if you look in the flower beds around the diner, you'll see a lot of murder flowers, which we're duly familiar with.
Perfect.
Just throwing that out there. But at one point, at the end specifically of the Revolution books, because whenever we see, and this is just something I've observed, so I could be wrong, but I was always under the impression reading Revolution that Rom obviously is smaller than the Cybertronians by a lot. He's very much smaller than them, but right. That he was bigger than humans.
Yes.
Like I was always under that impression.
Yeah, I picked that up. That he's probably somewhere in the realm of like 8 foot, right?
Yeah, like he's big. Like he's big compared to us, but still little compared to the Cybertronians. But then at one point, and it's not, and usually he's flying and he's not immediately directly next to humans, or if he is, he's in an action scene and you don't really get a sense of his scale. Mm-hmm. But I was under the impression he was bigger. But then at the very end, or like bigger than humans is what I mean.
Right.
About the size that we were saying. And, but then at the very end, Scarlet grabs his hand and like pulls him, like she helps him up at one point. And so like it's him and her and I forget who else he's got with him. But he's their size. Oh, I think he has snake eyes with him. And I was like, oh, Rom is just a normal human size. I thought he was bigger. But so I'm happy to see on this cover he is bigger. He's a big man.
Yeah. He's a big boy.
I'm going to guess it was just a discrepancy in artists that like suddenly he was smaller or he was human size. So, that's just a little extra tidbit I noticed on this cover that I appreciated.
There you go. And so we do have just I'm ready to like see my boy Whirl again, figure out what's up with Megatron.
Did you think going into this that we were gonna get
no
our
I
usual
knew
cast?
We talked to James about what's in this book.
That's true, we did. Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah, no, it's the scavengers. Everybody remember those ones?
Remember those kooky boys?
That crazy ongoing title.
Oh my goodness. And immediately, can I also say when I got to this issue, like I opened it up and immediately was like, had like puppy dog voice. Like I'm always like I was just so excited. Like when you're excited to talk to a dog because he's just so cute. I was just like, hi, look at the scavengers. They're so cute. I was very excited to get to this issue. I was like, oh, yay,
good
they're
scavengers.
Back. So.
Yeah. So we do have the normal More Than Meets the Eye lead in.
So good.
Talking about all the crazy adventures on the Lost Light and then saying like, by the way, we're not going to cover any of that.
None of them.
We've covered these scavenger guys twice.
And we're going to talk about them again this time. A group of the 6 worst Decepticons around. And they are on a mission to help out other Decepticons in need. And maybe there are Decepticons in need on Earth.
Who knows? And also Grimlock is there.
And also don't forget Grimlock. He's the Aunt Peggy.
So we do remember the big conversation, which is the Decepticon social media posting board.
Yeah, it's like a forum.
Yeah.
For Decepticons.
And that's where we open. We open in a big conversation thread.
And I'm immediately dying. Like, you open the first page and I'm immediately like, oh my god, I can't even wait. This is gonna be so good. Because, it's just, like, screenshots from some conversations we're seeing. Like, the first discussion is subgroup coping with peace. The thread title is Megatron, what next? And you just have then the people in the thread talking about, oh, he's gone full pacifist. There's no way. He's just gathering up cons. And so it's just introducing this idea. This is what we're... You know, it's our lead into what the big conversation looks like and how it operates. And we have some really great user icons. They're so cute and some great usernames. We can immediately tell which one is Crankcase. We can see Crankcase is here. He's Grumpy Box. And he has a little angry box icon.
Little box icon. He's mad.
It's missing a corner. It's super grumpy. And it's got a little rain cloud over its head. And at the very end of this first conversation... Someone named Cons for Eva joins, and that's where we leave off with the first one. And then
Cons for Eva and Crankcase are having a conversation.
Yeah, a week later.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, this thread in particular is called Reskilling. At one point, somebody else enters. Crankcase immediately is like, "Hey, get out of here. We're having a conversation. The username is Tell All Our Con, which, oh gosh, I love everything about this. And it's Grumpy Box and Con's Forever, pardon me, having just back and forth. And we can see, we're getting this impression. Oh, it's like anybody you meet on the internet. Yeah. Sometimes you just hit it off with a person. And you just keep talking to them.
And they're just, like, flirting.
It starts getting pretty flirty, because then a week after that one, they're in a private thread together. They're saying how they don't feel like they fit in. Crankcase, don't worry, he drops the fact that he was in a game of Shoot, Shoot, Bang, Bang. so thank goodness that's not ending anytime soon. They're bonding over the fact that they feel lost. And Crankcase feels better with his crew now, but he still feels lost.
Yeah. He hates me, obviously. And Cons Forever says, hey, do you want...
Yeah, that's the last interaction we see happened just last week. An invite to meet in place. Which immediately is like, oh boy, here we go.
Everyone on the internet has had an experience with this. And so we smash cut to Grimlock tearing up Amarillo, Texas.
Oh my goodness. Look at this big king stomping down the street.
Yeah, big boy.
He's just a big old T-Rex just walking around in Amarillo.
Getting smashy.
And of course we have people like police or, you know, what are they going to do? There's really nothing that they can do. He's just going to keep walking.
He's too big of a boy.
He's just too big. You can't do anything. He knows where he's going. He's going somewhere. And amidst, at the back of this destruction, we have this kid who's just
recording everything on his phone.
Yeah.
And wearing he's a Hasbro shirt.
Yes. Yes. A little wink there. And then he starts talking to this guy in uniform. And, we learn this uniformed person is named MP3. He's a Joe.
he says, yo, Joe. And Brandon says, it's Brandon. He goes, what? He goes, it's Brandon, not Joe.
Yeah, like, my name's not Joe, but thanks anyway. And so they're talking about the fact that, oh, this giant robotic T-Rex just busted through here. And MP3, yes, he's very enthusiastic.
He's a very happy boy.
He's
excited to do his job.
He's excited to be a Joe. He's enthusiastic about it. He, though, seems like he's not caught up with technology trends. Because the kid, of course, is like, oh, yeah, I just uploaded this video of this dinosaur that we just saw. And immediately, yeah, we're kind of like, what is MP3's deal? What's going on?
He tries to give the kid a thing, but he mentions that it needs ink cartridges. So he is a little outdated.
He tries
to do the knowing is half the battle, but he gets cut off.
He gets cut off. And then some other people want to talk to MP3.
Some crusaders.
Some beautiful crusaders show up. And they're working overtime and they're fighting crime. And they're beautiful. They're just covered in pink and just black and purple and just lovely. And they are saying that they are, he, of course, he thinks that they're backup for him. they don't seem to know entirely what they're doing there. So there's some awkward conversation between all three of them. He's trying to explain what G.I. Joe is.
They don't understand the, like, gastrointestinal Joe.
Right. They're like, I do love, because the shorter one says it's a counterintelligent outfit led by some Duke, which it is not led by a Duke. It is
by Duke.
First Sergeant Duke is, yes, a Joe. And then they're like, oh, we're Alex Higgins and Dennis Taylor. We're operatives of MASC.
And Mobile Armored Strike Wing Command.
Command with a K. And immediately we're like, obviously these people are not MASC operatives. We know the MASC operatives. Also, the fact that Dennis is like 8 feet tall and a lady.
Alex is, yeah, I mean.
and that's not me passing any judgment. I love it. I want more Dennises that are 8 feet tall and.
Ladies.
Yeah.
And they immediately have to display how badass they are.
And they show their powers, the powers of their masks, which are
include,
little
windshield wipers and cup holders.
Suds and anti-spell. And it's so great because MP3 doesn't even falter. He's just like, cool. Great. I have to go catch this dinosaur. And they're like, listen, why don't we team up? Let's all of us go together. And we meet like, his car.
Yeah, we get the action van, which is a regular van with G.I. Joe stuff spray painted on it.
Right. Like, the effort was put in, but we can tell it's kind of a... It wasn't an official military job.
And, of course, the mask team is like, oh, nice. Yeah, like, we're all about vehicles.
Yeah. And why don't you come with us in our vehicles?
And they say, how about a team up? And they do have vehicles indeed.
And we know those vehicles. So, of course, it is, as we all figured, immediately we were like, okay, so these are some Hollow Matter avatars that we're working with here. And the obvious is true. It is Misfire and Spinister.
Obviously.
Of course. Of course it is.
But we cut back to Crankcase.
Yes. Go back to the ship where we have Crankcase getting ready to meet his
Cons forever.
He's looking at himself in the mirror, and oh my god, he's wearing a Megatron helmet. I can't even. I was like, if anybody has played Overwatch, you might have heard of a character named Junkrat, and he just giggles all the time, and he has like this emote where like he can't even control himself, like he can't even handle what's going on. That was me through like 75% of this book. It's just too good. He's getting the help of Croc and sort Fulcrum. Of the help of Fulcrum.
The commentary of Fulcrum.
Yes, yes. They're kind of Project Runwaying him.
Croc does have a really good line, which is, when I want your opinion, Fulcrum, I'll kill myself.
Which was so intense of me. I was like, oh, damn, Croc. Sassy.
It's heavy.
There were some sassy boys on the Weak Anthropic Principle.
But he's saying, like, no, that hat's stupid. And he's like, well, I don't want to look stupid. And he's like, well, I mean, you got to. And then he's like, Croc is saying, like, hey, you're getting a message. They want to know what you're going to look like.
Yeah. Crankcase is like, what do I tell him? What do I tell him I look like? How will they know? Well, how will he know how to recognize? And Fulcrum immediately is being that friend who's like, hold on.
Let
you're meeting
me handle
this person
this
from
for
the
you.
Internet. Well, because, yeah, Croc is like, give me your phone. I will tell them how to identify you. And Fulcrum is, like, trying to be the rational one here and is like, you guys don't even know what each other look like.
You're going to get catfished.
Yeah, he's, like, he's being the Neve here.
You guys haven't even talked on Skype?
Something sounds fishy about here, about this. You haven't seen each other? You guys haven't FaceTimed? You haven't Skyped? And then Croc... Croc's description that he tells Khan forever to look for is he's a well-built trigger Khan with paintwork the color of a bruised spark. He'll like that, he insists, and he's not
it's poetic.
Wrong, very poetic.
I do love that the Crankcase is just like, look, you guys can just stay here. I know you hate Earth.
And Fulcrum immediately is like, Earth is fine. Humans are so gross. And he's like just going on about how they have pores and essentially saying that we sweat and it's so gross to him.
It is really gross.
He's got a point. Right. Like as soon as we get our robot bodies, we're not going to have to worry about it anymore.
But he does like a total 180. He's like, here, I made you Energon goodies to give as a gift.
It's so cute. And he's saying, you know, don't be nervous, Crankcase. Your friend. You like this person. He likes you.
What's his real name?
And Crankcase is like, wait, what do you mean? And Fulgrim's like, well, his name isn't Cons for. I always want to say foe. Cons for Eva. And he, yeah. And Crankcase is like, wait, why wouldn't it be? So this whole time. I mean, points to Fulcrum for at least bringing it up. But yeah, like Fulcrum or Crankcase didn't even consider like, oh, wait, that's not his name. He probably has a different name.
And we'll have to figure that out later because
we'll find out who it is. We don't know what his real name is. That's what we learned from this. Yes, is that
we have no idea who this is.
Who knows? We don't know what he looks like. We don't know what his name is. But Crankcase is something nervous about going to meet him. And then Croc won't let it go. He's like, okay, listen, if you're not wearing the helmet, you have to cover your face in some other way. Which, Croc, stop, that's mean. And even Fulcrum is like, no, stop it. Like, just go be yourself. And they do mention, they're like, maybe Spinister can help us just change your mouth so you don't scowl so much.
And they go, no, Spinister's busy in Grimlock's room with Misfire, and they're all just getting along and having a nice time.
They're just playing, so I don't want to go in and interrupt them. Which I get. It's like when you're like, it's fine. Like, the kids are getting just along.
Let me have this.
Don't interrupt them. Just let them be. I always figured, side note, like, that was always one of my jokes about Megatron and the Seekers. I was like, I feel like anytime the Seekers got along, Megatron would be like, oh my god, don't go interrupt them. They aren't fighting. Nobody talk to the Seekers. I am enjoying this peace and quiet for once.
Just let me have this.
Just leave them be. Let me be. Don't go talk to the Seekers. So they're like, okay, we're not going to bother them. We'll just the three of us go. And Croc gives in. He's like, okay, you're right. Just go be yourself. We're not going to cover your face. We don't have to put a bag over your head or anything. And they're like, okay, so do you have a description of what Khan's
forever looks like?
Yeah. yeah.
Craig, it does not take long to find.
No, Khan's it forever. Doesn't. It's not. He does have an idea. Crankcase has a picture in his mind of what they will look like. And, yeah, it matches exactly what they find. Not
right. Yeah. I don't know. I did not know this person on first glance, did I?
No. So he hasn't been here for a long, long time. So this is Thunderwing. But, like, so immediately, if people are familiar with Thunderwing, it was kind of like, oh, okay. All right. Which, to me, I was, like, endeared. Because, of course, yeah, when you go into this, you're like, you don't know what you're about to find. You don't know who Khan's forever is going to be. And then Thunderwing shows up. And they're all immediately terrified. So, yes, Dreadwing, back in, yeah, like, he and Shockwave went to the Crystal City. Shockwave shot him. And then he, like, got up. He was around for a while after that.
Yeah, I remember
that. So, yeah, he was just kind of, like, hanging out at, like, Shockwave's little hub during Dark Cybertron.
Ready to get killed.
Yes, he was. And continue to come back to life. So, I don't know if it's the same in IDW, but I know at least in, like, the Prime continuity, Dreadwing and Thunderwing, like, brothers, they're, like, but essentially both big, scary, intimidating Decepticons.
Yeah, they're not people you want to rumble with.
Yeah, and finding him all of a sudden on Earth
is not great.
Yeah, it would be startling. It would be a big surprise.
But we cut over to our other scavengers.
Yes. So immediately Misfire decides he likes MP3.
Yeah, they're gossiping about the humans.
Yeah. Spinister's like, yeah, no kidding, you like him. You just like people like that. And of course Misfire's like, what? What do you mean?
He's like, he's just like Grimlock. And he's like, he is nothing like Grimlock. He's tiny.
Like, how dare you? And yeah, so they're just kind of, discussing him and who even knows what Mask is.
Right. I do like that he says, oh, Mask is going to be huge. Trust me.
There's a lot of, what would you call this?
Meta-commentary.
Yes, perfect. There's a ton of meta-commentary in this book, and it's all very tasteful. It's none of it.
none of it will get anybody fired.
And I do think it's tasteful, because, like, clearly it's poking fun, but it's not, you know, it's not derogatory, but it is like, this is goofy, right? Like, can we all just talk about how goofy this is? And you know what? You're not wrong. We just spent the first, I don't know how long, part of this episode talking about how zany and kooky Revolution was and how it was like, whoa, you guys tried to do a lot in a very small period of time. So there's some meta commentary in this book about that. But I don't think it's anything harmful. I don't think it's anything malicious.
No, I think it's fun. Mask is going to be huge.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. That's just a given.
And we realize, oh, they're looking for Grimlock because we saw Grimlock tearing up Texas.
Yes. So, of course, Misfire's going to go look for him. And they have their hollow matter avatars driving their vehicles.
Flying their jets. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, where did MP3 go?
That guy? Is he back? Yeah, let's go get him.
They're like, we better go back.
The action van broke down.
And MP3's like, you guys go on ahead. I'll just wait here. And they're like, oh, wait, you have something in your aft compartment, they say, which they just mean back pocket, which I think is a great new name for back pocket.
Sure, I'll take that. And we see that he has a letter that, which will come up later.
It will.
And he's saying, like, yeah, I'm sorry, I can't help you out here. I was hoping that I finally get to do something. And he takes his helmet off, and they're like, oh, we'll take ours off, too.
So Spinister takes off his, and he just has another of the an exactly identical mask. It's a very Scooby-Doo moment. And then Misfire takes off his, and for some reason, despite having a face himself, didn't know how to
He's looking right at humans.
Right? And somehow created a teeny tiny face on a human head.
With one eye.
One eye. And it's all squinched up in the middle.
It looks like a weird Nintendo Mii they tried to make.
It absolutely does. So, of course, MP3
passes right the hell out.
Yeah. Because who... Yeah. Unmasking himself and seeing that was a bit much.
Even on a day where a giant robot dinosaur, which is mentioned on his sort of comms, and they're like, oh, perfect. That's where he is then.
Yeah, great. MP3, you did us a solid. Thank you. You ended up being you. And then we cut back to our boys in the shadow of Thunderwing looming above them. And immediately... they attack. They go on, like...
Yeah, just blasting him in the face with Energon Goodies.
We got Fulcrum whips the Energon Goodies up at his face, hits him in the face, which it will... I will say, initially when Thunderwing showed up, I was like, oh, this is so sweet. Like, Thunderwing has a sensitive side. He's now, you know, he's bonded with Crankcase. It's going to be very cute. So when they start attacking, I was like, oh no, that's not going to happen now. And so, of course, Fulcrum and Croc turn around to run, you know, and of course, Croc is like, of all the people of all the Decepticons, you somehow started flirting with Thunderwing.
And it looks like they're holding hands. The harbinger of the apocalypse. I agree. It does look like they're holding hands.
At first, I was like, oh, you guys are cute. And I was like, ah, alas, they are not holding hands.
It's just art.
Their hands just happen to be drawn over each other. So it does give a little insert here, like, see Transformers Stormbringer. So that's where it's like, okay, that's where Thunderwing's story is. And they're like, wait a minute, Crankcase isn't with us. And he isn't. He's collapsed. He's kind of having a moment. He can't really get it together. So they go back, you know.
They grab him.
Know what's wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. Try blasting Thunderwing. Is it Thunderwing?
Yes.
Blasting him in the gut, trying to escape.
Even Crankcase fires at him.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
they finally run.
And they're like, hey, Grimlock, where's Grimlock? Let's get Grimlock to handle this.
Yeah, he's a big boy. He'll help us.
He knows what's up. He's not a scavenger.
No, yeah, he's got this.
He's like a real robot.
And poor Crankcase is like, of course this is what happened. Like, and it's so sad, because he's saying, like, he's just, like, we all know how Crankcase already is. Like,
he's a grumpy boy, but,
he's
like...
He's a grumpy boy. He doesn't think very, he doesn't seem to have good luck. He doesn't have a great outlook on things, so he's saying...
To get catfish, just a...
Yeah, like, he was headed somewhere, he thought he was gonna get some happiness here.
It's a real blow to the confidence.
Yeah, and if you've ever watched the show Catfish, oof, this happens all the time.
It can be a real blow to the confidence.
It really can. And Croc is still like, what? Okay, you guys, put down the Legos, we need your help. Grimlock, come help us. And immediately there's just a fist punching through the wall, and they do my favorite thing again with the outline, the silhouette of someone flying.
Ragdolling through the air.
It's very cartoonish. It's very, like, Charlie Brown. And, of course, it's Thunderwing, and he's like, wait, Grumpy Bucks, I want to talk to you. And, oh, wouldn't you know, he's not Thunderwing.
He's a dire wraith. He's a ROM boy.
And he needs to talk to you about the crossover.
Get it?
Oh my goodness. So that's where we leave off with them.
We do see the smashed up sign that says entering Arden, Texas. And they just say, maybe he just hates signs.
And this person's like, come on. And they see all these humans who are hurt. And they're like watching them for a moment. And they see this... this lady, she's been knocked unconscious, of course, the EMTs are trying to help her. And they do, and she wakes up, and they're like, wait a minute, humans can wake up after they've been lying there unconscious. And they kind of like have a moment. They're like,
oh God, did we just bury MP3 alive?
Right. We don't realize what they did. And so Miss Fire or Spinister's like, they didn't put her in a hole in the ground and they didn't cover her in soil. And we're like, oh, for the love of God, you guys. And so immediately without even saying, Spinister's like, okay, yeah, like Miss Fire's like, tell MP3 I said hi. And Spinister's like, yep, go get Grimlock. Tell them to stop breaking signs. And they go in opposite directions. Because clearly they've buried MP3 alive.
Great job.
Good job, boys. They tried their best.
We cut back to our dire wraith friend. And it seems like Fulcrum, or not Fulcrum, Croc, knows what dire wraiths are.
Yes, he has some familiarity here. And he says, he even gives us some insight. He says that the dire wraiths are the reason Megatron steered clear of the Dark Nebula. So there you go, some little like wink as to being like, hey, which, and this is where those things again, they do work, because
sure,
we're like,
you can
Ron
plug
is a
your
space
cannon
knight.
Holes.
Yeah, like it makes sense that, and even the fact that cutting back to Revolution really quickly, Ron of course knows of the Cybertronians because pretty much everyone else in the Galactic Council, like in the
right,
Galactic
yeah.
knowledge, knows of the Cybertronians and their civil war, and they aren't the most well liked. So Rom was already aware of them, which
Bunch
makes sense,
jerks.
And that they would then in turn be aware of where Rom comes from, and of course then the dire wraiths too.
Right. And the dire wraiths saying like, look, I know you probably think I'm trying to kill you. I just need to talk to Grumpy Box.
Which of course keeps sounding so cute because his name is Crankcase. But Grumpy Box also works perfectly.
I think there's like a fighting game guy named something Box, and I keep thinking of that every time. I'm sorry, total
like
distracted.
Like a player or like
yeah,
a
like
character?
A like yes, like a tournament player who goes by like the handle Grumpy Box or something like that.
Oh, but that'd be
I'm not
yeah.
gonna remember it. It's like a Smith guy. Whatever, it does not matter.
My
yes.
brother might know him. Anyway, yes. So of course they do have a moment because of course the race like I just want to talk to you. And so Crankcase is going to give him, he puts down Croc's gun. He's like, hey, let's talk. And
he's like, why were you Thunderwing? And he's like, well, I just wanted to take a form that made sense. He's like, yeah, but I hate Thunderwing. Like, well, you talk about him a lot.
That's all he could. He's like, well, I just figured that made them. Fulcrum is like, hold on. And he steps between them. And look at how sad Crankcase looks here. Fulcrum steps in front of Crankcase and he's like, hold on. This diary mentioned a crossover, and I don't know what that is, but it sounds intimate. So Fulcrum is being our, like, concerned parent here, which is very much what happens with Neve a lot.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Like, all the time on Catfish. Max and Neve become parents for an episode. They have to take care of these poor catfished people. So Fulcrum's doing just that. He wants to know what a crossover is. And apparently it's a ceremony.
To express brand loyalty.
And to ascend from this life to the next. And, of course, just more winky
yes.
terminology. And
the brand is a deity that is worshipped by Temptorians.
Which we were on Temptoria
yeah,
back in issue 12 of More Than Meets the Eye.
There you go.
So it all works. It's all coming back, you guys.
They spend their whole lives spreading brand awareness.
It's all very goofy in here. And so, yes, the Dire Wraith is saying this is what he's trying to do. He wants to initiate the crossover so he can leave this existence behind because, again, he doesn't feel like he fits in here, which is exactly what he was telling Crankcase back on the forums. He was saying, and he, you know, he tells us here that he's a Dire Wraith who would rather socialize than kill. So he just doesn't, and especially having read Revolution, you're like, yeah, Dire Wraiths don't seem to be too calm.
They seem
and, like,
mostly
ready for conversation.
Mean.
Yeah, they seem very just hell-bent on just destroying everything around them. And there is a cute little moment between him and Crankcase is like, you don't have anything at all here? What about me? You have me. And it's very cute. And P.S., for what it's worth, fitting in is totally overrated.
Yeah.
And they do a cute little rundown of, like, look, Fulcrum is a coward who turns into a decommissioned bomb. Croc is a monoformer who wants to establish a mental health clinic. And
Klaus was a bus driver or a pack of strays.
Come on, yeah. And for what it's worth, that's not even the weirdest people here, so...
Yeah, and then they call out for Misfire and Spinister, and they're like, oh, yeah, not here.
Like, they are... I do love that they still think that they're in Grimlock's room. Like, not once, after shouting for them repeatedly, they're just like, ugh. It must be a hell of a game that they're playing in there.
And the Direwraith lets them know that they came in through a dinosaur-shaped hole in the wall, so...
And Croc's like, yep, that'll do it. Of course that's how you got in. So then the Direwraith he invites Crankcase to come with him.
Yeah.
Not to Grimlock's room, but to the crossover.
We can achieve the crossover. And he's saying, like, well, what do you need to do then? He's like, you need three distinct species for a crossover. Otherwise, it's just a team up. Which I don't know if that's... I get the joke, but if I may be pedantic...
Go for it.
A crossover is just from two different brands. Like, this is still a crossover, even if it's just those two.
Sure. No, I'm with you. Because, of course, even in, like, yeah, like, especially in fanfic and fan art and things like that, yeah, if it's a crossover, you take two. I get you.
But anyway. It is, yeah.
But for this situation, it's just a... And so they're like, do we have any humans lying around? Oh, don't worry.
Yeah.
Here's Spinister.
Here's a G.I. Joe who won't wake up. And we see there's Grimlock being real mad.
He's just, like, tearing into the earth.
Yeah.
He's dug this huge hole, digging. And Misfire's found him. Misfire's still in his Hollow Matter avatar state. He doesn't know what you're doing.
And Grimlock takes a swipe at him, and he says, hey, no, it's me, Misfire, chill.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right, buddy.
He's like, what's wrong? What's going on?
And he does take he's like, you know, maybe just be aware of the fact, like... Those weren't holograms back there. You stomped through. Like, this is kind of a big deal. What's going on? What are you doing? And Grimlock shows us what he was doing. He pulls out a sword from the earth. And then it's super cute. Because, well, it's not cute immediately. Because it looks like he's about to attack Misfire. And, of course, Misfire's immediately like, oh, no. Hey, no, come on. We're buddies. Please don't kill me.
But he's just showing him the sword.
Yeah, he just wants him to see the hilt of the sword here. And then it's super cute. Like, it was so cute. It was like, oh my goodness. this is gonna make me emotional. It's so cute. Because it's what we see on the sword paired with the look on Grimlock's face here. It's so cute. But we can see the sword has, the other Dinobots have carved their names into it.
Yeah, we see Slag, Snarl.
Yeah, it was
and
a present.
We realize, oh, this was given to Grimlock as a present.
Yeah. It's very sweet. So that's what he was trying to find, which does fit in with, I think, the last time we see Grimlock before. I mean, because he even says it. He says, this was your last stop before Garrus 9, the last time of the five of you were together. And he did, if I recall correctly, he, like, stabbed a sword into the ground, and that was kind of the last thing. Not, like, the last big thing, but, like, that is one of the last things he did.
Right.
He left it there, yeah. I mean, not by choice, but that's where it ended up being left.
There you go. And we even get our little editor saying that happened in Transformers Maximum Dinobots number 5, Treelievers.
There you go. And yeah, like, it's, and you know, so Misfire has this kind of moment and he's
like, wow, buddy, this is a real deal.
Yeah, like, you've made, this is a big deal. Like, he's remembering things. He's, you know, from where they found him. Like, he remembers and he's picking up on things that happened before Garrus 9.
Yeah, he's making progress.
Yeah. And again, Misfire has to be like, I mean, you still shouldn't have done what you did. But I understand. And it's so cute, because then he says he was worried he's going to lose him forever. And he's glad that he was wrong about that. And then Grimlock calls him a loser, and it's adorable.
And we go over to MP3, and he's being apologized to, and they say, like, well, we're sorry, we thought you were dead. He's like, I was awake while you were doing it.
Spinister's like, I just thought that's what, like, human post-death reflex syndrome did. And so they're saying, luckily, the Direwraith, the Thunderwraith, he calls him, knew a little bit about human. And he's like, oh, also, good job staying alive, holding your breath. And MP3, we find out, oh, that pen he tried to give that kid, that's how he stayed alive under the ground.
Right. Works better as a straw than a pen. Secret G.I. Joe.
After those bing bongs buried him alive. So they're gonna do this crossover.
Yeah. And so like, you don't need to do it, but it'd be cool. Like, do you need permission from Yojo?
Which is so cute. And then we learn MP3's like, no, I haven't spoken to Joe in years. He was never her front line. But yeah, like, he was always so hype about it.
Yeah, he wanted to be involved.
Yeah, but he was just bureaucratic. They were doing paperwork.
We can tell, like, immediately when this group was formed, like, the early 2000s. His teammates had names like Webcam, Startup, Blue Tick, and Tommy Staple.
who knew? They all got fed up and quit. So, yes, very much. I mean, it still doesn't explain the fact that he hasn't progressed with technology, but that at least obviously puts us where we figured he would be.
I really want, like, a G.I. Joe The Office sitcom.
Oh, my God.
Of just, like, this super bureaucratic
Yes. That would be so good. with all their code names.
Right. And we realize that that letter he had was his resign letter.
He was always tempted, but he could never do it. He was always waiting for the day that he finally had an adventure. And now he has. And it had nothing to do with G.I. Joe.
Yeah, he was not even involved. But the Diarrhaeth is saying, we need the crossover to happen now for total brand awareness before the fourth quarter.
So they do this cute little
hand hold. Yeah.
They cross over their arms and put their hands on each other. And they have to...
They have to beatbox.
The Diarrhaeth starts beatboxing. And, of course, the other scavenger, what is happening? And Croc is like, this is existential beating, and it's working. This is exactly what needs to happen. This is also, I think that's what Lin-Manuel Miranda does, too.
Right.
Like, I would think if anybody could existentially beatbox, it's him.
Yeah, I've seen it happen. It's weird.
Mm-hmm. Transcendent.
And so, Crankcase is saying, like, hey, I know this was all just a ploy to get me to, like, help you, Ellen, explain it. I'm glad.
Like, that's okay. Yeah, you deserve to be happy. And then, as often happens in Catfish, the Diarrhaeth is like, for what it's worth, like, everything I said to you about how I felt and everything, that was all real.
Right.
So all that flirting, he meant it.
And as often happens in Catfish, they begin to open an extra dimensional portal to another realm.
Yes. It happens a lot in that show.
It's a very small portal, though.
Yes, this one's just tiny. It's, like, literally the size of, like, a Nintendo DS.
Yeah, I'd say that's about right.
It's just a little closed, mind you. Maybe, like, an iPhone, like, the big ones.
Sure, the iPhone Plus.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can't quite go through there, so.
Yeah. But that's okay.
Yeah, they're saying, you know what? That wasn't bad for the first crossover, and maybe that's the brand's way of saying the most out of this life.
Yeah, this is this life, and they call it the one shot. And damn it. And the Diarrhaeth says that he's still here because, turns out, if he's being honest, he just didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
He's still here.
He made friends.
Yeah. And, like, he's gonna... And Crankcase invites him. He's like, you're welcome to come with us. Like, I know you're just gonna hop off of the next Star Hub, but you're welcome to stay with us. We asked MP3 to come, too. And Fulcrum's like, hold up, what? Who? But the Diarrhaeth says no. He needs to do his own thing.
Yeah. We find that MP3 was delivering his letter to Scarlet of G.I. Joe Command, because the portal, of course, obviously.
Of course.
And so he delivers the letter, but his arm gets caught in there and Fulcrum flies away. Because he hates humans.
Because, like, Crankcase even says, like, oh, yeah, MP3 is going to come with us. He just has to send his letter first. Fulcrum is at the control, so he takes the F off as soon as he's like, cool, we're all clear, bye. And he reiterates, he just really hates humans. And that's as much of an answer as we get.
There you go.
And that's it.
That's the revolution, everybody.
We did it. We made it through revolution.
Good job,
but yes,
us.
So that one obviously still pulls in the properties that we know. We get some Joes, we get some masks, but none of them really have anything to do with the Joes and the masks that are working with Optimus or working against Optimus or what have you. But man, what a fun little comic. As soon as I remember when we were first hearing about this and it was like, oh, Right. They're like, because I don't remember, like, now I can't remember exactly where, like, from whom I heard what about this one. But I remember hearing about, like, the big conversation coming back and being a thing and being someone over the internet. And I was just immediately like, oh my God, of course, this is going to be amazing. So even though it isn't officially, like, in the line of what we were getting with More Than Meets the Eye, it's another really...
Yeah, it's great those
way to wrap it up. Right. Like, I feel like every, like, More Than Meets the Eye had three different endings, kind of. One of which ended up being a direct continuation with Lost Light. But yeah, no, they all worked in the way that Meets the Eye just always worked. Like, it's,
I have to imagine
all the time.
There really is, like, some comic goer out there who doesn't follow Twitter or anything, like, what the fuck? Is that how they end it? Like, Jesus.
That is true.
And they saw the revolution tie in and they're like, oh, finally, we're going to get some answers here. But we're going to figure out what Rung does. We're going to get everything. And, like, just totally missed Lost Light number one somehow. Like, I don't know who this blue guy is. This isn't the book that I read.
Yeah, like, what is all of this? I don't know. You're right. I hope for the sake of everybody who loves it More Than Meets the Eye that they understand how these books are laid out and they aren't lost.
Has picked up Lost Light number
picked
one,
up Lost
which
Light number one.
We should cover in the next episode. Is that correct?
Yes. So here's how it's going down. So yes, on this episode, we were like, let's kick off season two, which is kind of like figuring out, or at least, you know, kind of talking about where we're at as far as the show and how we're going to do our best to figure this out from here on out, because it really is a new world as far as this show is.
The original premise has been retired by necessity.
Yes. Yeah. There's nothing else we can do. So it ended up working out because Lost Light number two was supposed to come out this week. Today, actually. We're recording this on Wednesday.
Right.
So it was supposed to come out today. But it's been pushed back to next week, which means we will get the show next week will be immediately. We will be talking about Lost Light 1 and 2. So we will be covering it right after it comes out. So that'll be nice. And I know a lot of people have been wondering if we were going to cover this one shot we just talked about, and asking about if we were going to cover Lost Light.
And we'll figure out if we're going to cover this one shot later. Who knows?
Who knows?
No, yeah, I think anything James writes and anything that seems to be important to the main Transformers continuity that we have going forward, we will cover in some capacity. That is something I think everyone...
Yes. Like, we're still figuring it out. We do want to. I don't think it would be saying too much or giving false hope to say that I know we want to figure out some way. Because, of course, we're not going to have a book every week. We just
exactly.
Don't.
They don't make that many.
To cover every week. No. So we were thinking about what else we could cover. We want to do the Wreckers series. We want to do Last Stand and Sins. So hopefully we'll figure out where those are going to go. Because those are really good. And you haven't read those. So that'll
correct.
Be kind of a return to a familiarity for us and going into books where... Yeah, we work our way through.
Right. And the other thing that we had discussed, and I don't know if we move forward with this, but just picking episodes of shows and watching those and talking about those, if not we.
Yeah. There's plenty within the Transformers franchise for us to, that would fit in the context of the show. Because
turns out it's not just comic books.
It turns out. I'm going to be this person and say, these are the best. What we're covering, in my opinion, is the best of the franchise.
I've heard really
so
good things about these, Michael, but who knows?
I would like to know the people you're talking to in that case. But anyway, I'm kidding, kind of. But yeah, so there's plenty for us to... We're not going to run out of other material anytime
and
soon.
If there's anything you, dear sweet listener, want us to do on this show, let us know. We'll probably do it. Why not?
Yeah, it really is just kind of the Wild West now. Just going to figure it out. We've all got our Derringers.
There you go.
We've got our Spurs.
Got our guns and horses.
That's right. It's high noon somewhere.
Transforminauts, who's your Overwatch main?
Ooh, Transforminauts, are you like people who remind you of yourself? So do you like Reinhardt, because he's so big and strong?
He is a big, big robot boy.
Do you like Bastion because he's a cute, good robot boy?
Maybe you want to be the tiny robot boy, Zenyatta.
There are some good robot boys.
We need more robot boys.
We really do. Also, give us Athena.